Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our meditations, Pulling Down Enemy Strongholds. This morning we're going to consider the stronghold of revenge. Now, as I've said before, there's nothing like the Word of God. The entrance of God's Word gives light. God's Word is living and powerful. Every scripture is God-breathed and useful, so have your Bible handy if you would, and let's turn to three short Bible readings from the Old Testament in Leviticus, chapter 19, and then in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Romans, and then his letter to the Ephesians. I'll mention the verses and chapters as we go, so we begin in Leviticus 19, reading from verse 10, the end of verse 10. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Keep my decrees. Then if you'll move across to the New Testament, and reading first of all in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Then if you'll just turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and reading just from verse 29 to the end of that chapter, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So reads the Word of God, and to his name be the praise. Have you ever met the giant of revenge, the enemy of revenge? How Satan, our archenemy, would love to build a stronghold in the hearts and minds of people, filling them with a desire to get even, filling them with a vengeful spirit. Well, if you've never met this enemy, you're a unique person. I first met him as a 10-year-old. I was just at the front end of what would be a 9-year spell of getting an education at boarding schools in Zimbabwe. I was with a friend in my first boarding school experience. We were exploring the campus and we went into the gymnasium. And there we saw two sets of boxing gloves. When we dug them out of the box, there were even more. So I remember as though it was yesterday. My friend and I, we put these boxing gloves on and we began having great fun pretending we were great boxers. But then a giant of a bully from grade 7 appeared. Said, having some fun boxing, are you? Let's see how you do. And so he put on boxing gloves that were twice the size of mine. And then he took a slug at me, and my lights went out. I woke up with my friend trying to stop my bleeding nose. I'm sure it did me the world of good to have that experience. Young as I was, though, I can tell you I was filled with resentment and a desire to get even. In my mind, I invented many ways of torturing or even killing the bully. Needless to say, I still haven't even the score. When a white police officer puts his knee on the neck of a black man until he cannot breathe and then dies, can you wonder that millions of people of color all over the world are filled with a spirit of revenge? The passion for revenge is grounded deep in our fallen nature. The desire to get even disrupts families, provokes wars. A passion for vengeance can remain in our hearts until the day we die. It can even hasten the day of our dying. It's like an evil germ in the mind. It breeds bitterness, and bitterness breeds depression and resentment, and can even cause disease, mental imbalance, nervous breakdown. The enemy of revenge is very powerful. This titan can damage the offended person more than the offender. One of the legacies of an unjust apartheid government in South Africa is that the giant of revenge still stalks across our country and has been stalking fairly recently across the university campuses of our nation, inciting racism, causing damage and disruption, with a knock-on effect that negatively then affects the lives of thousands of students, families, institutions. Friend, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you this morning, the giant of revenge is very destructive. And how Satan, our enemy, would love to set up a stronghold of revenge in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. I read about a farmer whose crops were threatened by a flock of crows, and he eventually caught one of them, tied a small stick of dynamite to it, and let it lit the fuse, and then turned the crow loose, expecting it to blow itself up in midair and thus frighten the other birds to take off to distant places. Instead, the crow flew into his barn, and the explosion wrecked the barn. Our hates and resentments are always more destructive to us than they are to the objects of our hatred. Cultivate a passion for revenge, and you will ultimately be nurturing ill health physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Shakespeare said, "Hate curdles the milk of human kindness." How right he was. It certainly stunts the development of the soul. I battled against this giant of revenge for 4 years, from 1976 to 1980, the last years of the civil war in Zimbabwe. We all did, blacks, whites, everybody in between. I wished I could have killed the freedom fighters who shot down the first civilian Viscount aircraft on its flight from Kariba to Harare, because on board was the pilot, who was a school friend of mine, the co-pilot, who was engaged to a niece of mine, and on board were a young couple that I had married just a week before. They consummated their honeymoon in heaven. The 12 survivors were murdered by freedom fighters at the wreck. And when the Ndebele political leader Josh Nkomo was interviewed about this injustice on television, he laughed. To him it was a triumph. When Karen's parents saw him a few months later getting petrol at a filling station, they came to me as their pastor, confessing that all the hatred and bitterness and desire for revenge had welled up in their hearts and minds again, and they wanted help to pull down this stronghold of revenge. I stood at the spot where 13 missionaries had been massacred a few days before in the eastern highlands of Zimbabwe, and I battled once again with that giant of revenge. He stalks me still. So what does the Bible say? It says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge," Leviticus 19:18. Romans 12:19, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath." Hebrews 12:15, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Ephesians 4:31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, along with every form of malice." Who can help us overcome this enemy of revenge? Jesus can. 1 Peter 2:21 to 25, "When they hurled insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to God who judges justly. And when he was on earth, he said to his disciples, 'Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you.'" Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. So here's the thing, friends. In the natural, it's almost an impossibility to be free of the desire for revenge. But for those who know the amazing grace of God in Christ, what is impossible for the old nature that we've inherited from Adam is possible for the new nature that is imparted to us when we know Christ as our Savior, Shepherd, and Friend. Imparted to us through the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Then the Christ in us can deal with the enemy of revenge and stop that becoming a stronghold in our minds and hearts and wrecking our lives. Jesus has done it before. He can do it again. Time and again, Christ has entered the lives of men and women who have been consumed with hatred and a vengeful spirit, and Jesus has erased all that desire for revenge. It happened to Saul of Tarsus, the religious Pharisee. He was filled with hatred toward the followers of Jesus. He was consenting to the death of Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit of Jesus and wisdom. And Saul was breathing out vile threats and murder as he watched Stephen being stoned to death, holding the jackets of those killers, egging them on, his mouth like a foul artesian well of blasphemy and curses. When Saul of Tarsus saw Stephen kneeling down and praying, "Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge," it infuriated him even more. He got letters from the high priest in Jerusalem to round up Christians in Damascus as well and imprison them. But on the way to Damascus, the risen and glorified Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus in a light that shone brighter than the noonday sun. And after 3 days of confession, brokenness, and repentance, Saul of Tarsus was born again, born of the Holy Spirit, as realizing who Jesus really was. He repented of his sin and placed his trust in Christ, received him by faith as his Lord and Savior, and God sent an ordinary believer, Ananias, to pray for Saul of Tarsus that he might be healed of his blindness, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus, and Saul of Tarsus emerged a new person, set free from every shred of bitterness, hatred, and revenge. He fell in love with the very people he once hated, and gave his life serving the Christ he had formerly rejected. God did it when Saul was willing to surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Saul learned from Stephen, the first martyr, that Jesus himself, the giant, was able to slay the giant of revenge. The giant of revenge can only be slain with a smooth stone of forgiveness. Saul of Tarsus learned that if Christ lives in you, he can also love through you. That's why my friend Roy Comrie considers it the highlight of his year, when he is able, to come from Canada to South Africa and to go to Westville Prison in Durban, near Durban, and sit down and pray with the man who raped and murdered his sister. For that man, and now a few dozen others, have come to Christ. They're serving a lifetime sentence, but having encountered the Lord Jesus, like Saul of Tarsus, have become precious brothers in Christ. The same spirit of forgiveness that was expressed by Jesus on the cross when he was being murdered, and he prayed, "Father, forgive them," that same spirit can be found in your heart and mine when Christ has full sway in our lives. In his strength, we too can forgive injuries, pray for our enemies, and love them to the end. To retaliate is natural. To harbor unforgiveness is natural. To seek revenge is natural. The problem is it will also naturally destroy you in spirit and soul and body. Only the smooth stone of forgiveness, only the smooth stone of forgiveness can slay the giant of revenge. The remedy against revenge lies at the foot of the old rugged cross, where through the power of the blood of Christ we find forgiveness, and can offer forgiveness, and live in the freedom of forgiveness. "Forgive and forgive and forgive. 70 times 7 forgive," says Jesus. And through the power of the Christ within us, we can forgive. The Holy Spirit enables us when it is our desire to do so. And then we find ourselves caught awash in the ocean of God's great love in Jesus. The alternative is to stop growing spiritually and to nurse a germ of bitterness that has the power to destroy you. A strong, healthy man, was asked to think about someone he liked very much. Holding out one arm, he was asked to fill his mind with good thoughts about that person, one thought after another. As he did, the person conducting the experiment tried to pull down his arm, but failed. Then the person was asked to think about the person he disliked more than any other person in the world, and to fill his mind with bad thoughts about that individual, one bad thought after another. After a while, the man conducting the experiment was able to pull his arm down with ease. Now, I don't advise you to try this trick at home, but his conclusion was that our whole being is affected by bitterness and resentment and a vengeful spirit, and we can never function at our best. We can never fulfill our potential, no matter what our profession, if we harbor unforgiveness and carry around a vengeful spirit. Jack London wrote that quite well-known book, White Fang, the story of a wolf dog who is an outcast at war with a world where only one law exists: eat or be eaten. Jack London died at the early age of 40, after a life characterized by many hard times. He never knew who his father was. He worked many different jobs. He endured time in jail for vagrancy, and saw his fortune evaporate as fast as he made it. Nevertheless, he never gave up hope, and he was always the romanticist at heart. Commentator Dwight Swain states, "In White Fang, clearly, Jack London is arguing that love is a major, if not the major, civilizing force in a world otherwise ruled by club and fang, brutality and blood. Be ever mindful of the desire to get even. We were created to love, not hate. That's why our world is in such a mess. It is messed up by people who are overcome by a stronghold of revenge. When Jesus lives in you, he can also love through you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Jesus knows us through and through. That's why he teaches us to pray every day, "Forgive us, Father, as we have fully and freely forgiven those who have sinned against us." Then he adds this telling commentary in the Sermon on the Mount, "For if you do not forgive the sins of those who sin against you, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive your sins." Folks, there are many people in this world who think they are forgiven, but in actual fact they are not, because they have never forgiven those who have wronged them. Sometimes we find, like Jesus, that our forgiveness is not received. That's not our concern. Forgive anyway. It's the only way to live free. It's the only way to slay the giant of revenge and to stop it becoming a stronghold that cripples our progress in life. Friend, forgiveness may not rid you and me of our enemy, but forgiveness will relieve us of our enmity. And God wants the peace of Christ to reign in our hearts day by day. W. E. Sangster says, and I quote, "Be like Jesus. Forgive your enemies, pray for your enemies, and serve your enemies. You'll be amazed what the Holy Spirit can do when he gets a hold of your enemies." End of quote. You remember, I'm sure, the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, who was sold into slavery, unjustly imprisoned, conveniently forgotten by the cupbearer to the Pharaoh. And yet Joseph forgives his brothers. Instead of harboring a spirit of revenge, he pulls that down through a spirit of forgiveness. And 25% of the first book of the Bible contains the story of Joseph. What amazing things God is able to do in our lives when we come to the cross of Jesus, and there in confession and repentance over the spirit of revenge in our hearts, we find not only forgiveness, but that Jesus sets us gloriously free, and that those chains, that bondage of a spirit of revenge, of a stronghold of revenge, is pulled down through the power of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our King. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is no stronghold in our hearts and minds that you are not able to conquer through the power of your great love in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died on the cross for all of our sins, including the sin of revenge, and who rose again in triumph from the grave so that we could share his victory, a victory that works out practically in our personal lives, the victory of the cross of Jesus. When we receive that victory by faith, not only forgiveness, pardon, release, but wonderful triumph over every stronghold that the enemy would seek to set up in our minds and hearts. Thank you this morning that we can come to the cross of Jesus once again and place our trust in the Christ who loved us and gave himself for us, and know that through the power of the shed blood of Christ, we're able to not only enjoy pardon, but enjoy power imparted to us through the Holy Spirit of God, who is able to set us gloriously free from a spirit of revenge, pull down the stronghold, and replace it with the joy and the peace, the freedom of forgiveness, the love of Christ, which is beyond telling. And so today, once again, we thank you for the triumph of the cross, the empty tomb, and for the Christ who loves us and who is willing to live his life in us through the power of his Holy Spirit as we yield to him and to his kingship day by day. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can come today to praise you, that we can live in the freedom of forgiveness. And not only live in the freedom of forgiveness, but practically extend that forgiveness to others day by day. And we pray that you'd give us opportunities to declare the triumph of Jesus and to demonstrate the victory of the Lord Jesus over every sin in the book, as by your grace we're able to live in trustful obedience to your holy word and enjoy the liberty and the joy, the wonderful blessing that comes to us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you not only pardon our transgressions, but empower us by your Holy Spirit to live triumphantly as more than conquerors through him who loves us. That we can say with the Apostle Paul once again this morning, thanks be to God for the victory that is ours in Jesus. Thanks be to God who always leads us in the triumphal procession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come in full and glad surrender to you this morning, dear Lord, praising you that we can embrace the good news about Christ and make that personal in our own lives, so that day by day we can share that good news with others, obeying the great commission of the Lord Jesus to go into our world to make disciples. Thank you for the example of Christ. Thank you for the example of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the great apostle. Thank you for the example of missionaries like Roy Comrie, who was able to come to the place of full and free forgiveness in a relationship with the person who raped and murdered his sister, and to build that relationship and to disciple one who so easily could have just been his lifelong enemy. And yet we thank you that by the grace of Jesus Christ at work in Roy's life, Roy's highlight of the year, where possible, is to meet with that man who murdered his sister and to enjoy rich fellowship in the Spirit of Jesus. And so we pray that you'd help us to follow the example of our Savior and of those who do follow his example, that we may be completely free from bitterness, from a spirit of revenge, from any form of hatred or malice. May Christ be formed in us. May his life and character be demonstrated in us and through us, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Take our lives and use us, we pray, to the honor and glory of the Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. I pray today, Father, for any who may be struggling with revenge or with any stronghold that is spoiling their lives, stealing away their potential, robbing them of the peace and joy of Christ. And I ask that you would give them the grace to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus and to find in him a Savior perfectly suited to their need. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.
Sufficient is the sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou my guide while life shall